Roger Williams University is hosting a crisis management seminar on May 3rd at their Providence campus. Crises, whether a natural disaster, cyber attack, or financial instability, can have severe repercussions if not handled properly. This is where crisis management plays a pivotal role. Join Roger Williams MBA students and expert speakers to learn how to prepare for the unexpected. The program is totally free and open to the public. You can register online at rwu.edu/events/crisis-management-symposium.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
For up-to-the-moment Rhode Island news, follow at Bill Bartholomew on X. Welcome back into our two-month installment, a special highlighting Rhode Island's historic cemeteries. I'm Bill Bartholomew, joined by Deb Suggs, as always, here as we break down some of these really fascinating stories that emanate from Rhode Island's historic cemeteries, of which there are just so many. And you had mentioned in a previous episode, whenever you discover a new cemetery, you always try to find one person and research that person to sort of formulate something tangible out of it. You know, something that goes beyond just one person is Rhode Island's horrific relationship with slaves and slavery. And there are many who still to this day would deny that there is such history, but there is proof of this. And one way to verify that is by looking at historic cemeteries. In this episode, we're going to take a look at including North Kingstown 181, which is referred to as Slave Lot NK-181. Talk about this history, as horrific as it is.
Certainly. So my interest in historic cemeteries really started around the topic of African-American burial grounds in Rhode Island. I read a book by Glenn Knobloch, and the book, funny enough, was called African-American Burial Grounds and Grave Sites, and it was in New England. I, being a native Rhode Islander, was really interested in that. Growing up, I did not learn the history of African-Americans coming to Rhode Island, their role in the Rhode Island industry, economics, quite frankly, the role of slavery in the state. We certainly all heard about the Browns, and to an extent, Newport was involved in the slave trade, but not really heavily knowledgeable about it. So I took this book almost as a tour book, read the book, and started looking at different cemeteries. And one of the first cemeteries in this book is God's Little Acre in Newport that everybody knows about. What I found and really thought about after reading this book and thinking about it, God's Little Acre is beautiful. The stones are beautiful. The stories behind the stones are beautiful. But that represents such a small portion of the life of those enslaved in the state of Rhode Island. The vast majority of slaves lived on really what were plantations, Southern style, Southern America, Southern U.S. style plantations right here in Rhode Island. And one of these cemeteries that really piqued my interest, quite frankly, Bill, because it's probably a third of a mile from my house, and I had never heard about it. In the book, it is referred to as the Gardner Stanton Slave Lot. In the Historic Cemetery Commission, it's just called Slave Lot NK-181, and it is believed to be the largest burial of enslaved people in New England, with well over 160 fieldstones and graves. The problem or sad thing about this cemetery is right now it is in the process of being listed as missing. No longer available. It's on private property, something that's happened particularly in South County, but all over the state. I've recently looked at some cemeteries in Warwick that are all declared missing, and many of these cemeteries are the cemeteries of formerly enslaved people. Now, the sad thing about this Gardner Stanton lot is it is believed to be the burial ground. We have to keep saying believe because we don't know where it is anymore and we don't really know. But based on town records for NK and SK, because remember, it was all one Washington County at the time.
Right.
The burial ground of many of the soldiers of Rhode Island's 1st Regiment, which if you don't know or your listeners don't know, Rhode Island 1st Regiment was the first integrated or first black regiment in our country's history.
Yep.
Fought throughout this Revolutionary War with commendations, were instrumental in the Battle of Rhode Island, instrumental in many of the battles that were fought and led to the founding of our country. Many of those decorated soldiers are buried now in a missing lot, what we term as a missing lot, in the middle of the woods in NK South Kingston. It's on the NK South Kingston line. I talk about this lot a lot in my conversations because of the fact that it's missing and the sad thing that it's missing for its historical significance. There are so many. We've got the Babcock slave lot in South Kingston that's missing. That's near Tuckertown Farm. The Dockray family slave lot, which is also in South Kingston, but they're not the only ones. I've been looking for a couple of slave burial grounds in Warwick and have been unable to find them. So I did find one recently. It's believed to be the folks that own the Smith Castle's family slave lot, a portion. They had so many slaves at Smith Castle that their family slave lots are all over the place. So I did find one in the middle of the woods in North Kingston and then found out that one really was twice the size as it is now, and it's very small now, but it was probably more than twice the size. But much of that land was dug up when they were quarrying for the stones for the Newport Bridge projects. So that one is gone.
So much of what was, I believe, Narragansett County, if I'm not mistaken, and if that was what Washington County was known as, but in any case, it was large plantations.
Yes. So it was Kings County because remember, was Kings County because we were still belonged to the crown. And then it became Washington County. What people sometimes confuse is right now, Washington County, South Kingston, Narragansett, North Kingston, they were one area.
Right.
They were Washington County, South Kingston, in fact, and anybody in South Kingston will tell you, was a bunch of little towns. As is North Kingston.
Peacedale. Kingston.
Narragansett at the time was one part of South Kingston. Funny enough, too, people who passed Tower Hill Road in South Kingston, that was a thriving, very busy community.
Where the now Hannah Robinson Tower
yes,
is.
Yes, now it's a hill, right. But before it was a very busy, very active community. What people sometimes don't know, one of the state capitals, because during the Revolutionary period, the state capitals moved from different areas, from different counties. One of them was in Kingston, which was called Little Rest. Now is the Kingston Public Library. The Free Library was one of the state's capitals at the time.
Fascinating. But as time moved along, these former plantations became neighborhoods.
Yes.
And with that, many of these lots that are now listed as missing, mm-hmm. or in the process of being listed as missing, literally were built upon by new developments.
Exactly. And that's what's happened to a lot of them. Beautiful developments, but okay, maybe freak your listeners out a little bit. Many of them are buried on top of the dead, quite frankly. The cemeteries were just buried onto. And in fairness to many of the people who live there now, a lot of them were simply field stones. I don't know when contractors were digging up what they found, but many of these cemeteries were field stones. The sad thing for the state is that we've lost, because we built on these cemeteries, we lost the knowledge of the enslavement in this country, in the state. Again, these were plantations. They were sheep farms. There were dairy farms. They were apple orchards. Those are the things that we were known for in the state on these great plantations. And the colonists or the English, however you want to refer to them, that lived on these, lived like aristocracy and imported slaves, sold slaves, and worked slaves.
Wow.
So, you know, we do have some African-American burial grounds still in the state. Typically, they've been preserved. It's because they've been attached to a white cemetery or a common cemetery.
God's
Little Acre. Right. North Burial Ground Cemeteries, Old Fernwood in South Kingston. But before we want to finish, I want to tell you one cemetery that I ran across that is still there. And is a black family cemetery, a cemetery of formerly enslaved people. Again, in Teft Farms, in the woods of Teft Farms. It's called the Niles Lot, and it's South Kingston 81. And it is amazing. Buried there are about 30 different folks with field stones, and then there is one stone. One stone with a name on it. The name of it is Simon Niles, which the lot's named after. That's the only way you could name the lot. The Niles family was one of the founding families and one of the larger plantation owners, and they had a lot of enslaved Africans and a lot of enslaved Narragansetts. because, you know, you indentured the indigenous, which in effect was slavery. What's special is, one, that this lot was found in the middle of the woods. Two, Simon Niles was a 19-year-old farm boy. Coming from, he was not a slave, but his family background, by that point, by the time of his life, slavery was outlawed in Rhode Island. Simon was 19 and went off to fight in the Civil War. So he went off as an African-American in South Kingston to fight to free blacks throughout the South. Unfortunately for poor Simon, he took ill, as many soldiers did, and died before combat and came back here. The coolest thing about the Niles family lot, though, is how they've done excavations and how people are buried in that lot. 99% of burials throughout the world are buried east to west. People are buried east to west. This is only one of two lots in the state of Rhode Island where the folks of the burials are north to south.
The other being the North Burial Ground in Providence?
The other one is the slave lot in the North Burial Ground. The reasons why are unknown, but it is unique for those two lots.
Fascinating and important history. It's right there for all of you right now to go and discover for yourself. And hopefully you've had an opportunity in these episodes that we've been presenting here to sort of pique your own curiosity. Deb Suggs, back next week for another round. Thanks so much.
Thank you.